Praise God. Well, the Lord is good. Amen. Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. And we're going to go to familiar setting. And let's start there at verse number 13. And when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the other prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom do ye say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, just so that nobody thinks that Peter had a get out of jail free card and that he could just bind and loose and just do what he wanted to do as he pleased, I want to read that scripture from a couple of different translations. And in the Amplified translation, it said, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind or declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose or declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven." And the Young's literal translation says, "I will give you the keys of the reign of the heavens, and whatsoever thou mayest bind upon earth shall be having already been bound in the heavens, and whatever thou mayest loose upon the earth shall be having already been loosed in the heavens." In other words, Peter had to find the mind of heaven. He had to have the mind of Christ. He had to know what was bound and loosed in the heavens so that he could declare it on the earth. In other words, there's a lot of people that are going around and saying, "Well, I bind this and I loose this," and God doesn't know anything about binding stuff like that. Amen. And I believe that we can take authority over spirits. But when it comes to some things, amen, I believe that we got to have the mind of the Spirit so that we can declare things on earth as they are in heaven. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Whatever's bound in heaven, we want it bound here on the earth. Whatever is loosed in the heavens, we want it loosed down here on the earth. Praise God, I could rear back and preach about right now. Amen. Jesus, amen, he spoke and he said, "I beheld Satan as lightning cast out of the heavens, thrown down upon the earth, bound, amen, and cast down." Praise God. And I know that he's not bound right now, but I do know that there's coming a time that he is going to be bound. Praise God. But we do have power over that. Hallelujah. And we are taking advantage of that. Amen. And we're asking God to do some great things amongst us. And I just simply want to preach here for a little while, accepting the keys to a locked up world. Accepting the keys to a locked up world. Amen. We've got a purpose and we've got a responsibility. Amen. Why don't you ask the Lord to help you to understand your purpose and your responsibility in this day and time. Heavenly Father, we love you. We need you today. We are coming unto you, Jesus. God, we are nothing without you. We are leaning upon you. And I'm praying, God, that your mind would be exposed unto us. God, that your perfect will would be made manifest unto us, God. Help us, Lord, to understand the purpose of the church. Help us, O Lord Jesus, to understand the responsibility of the church. And to understand that we are the church. And that we are your hands. And that we are your feet, and that we are your voice, hallelujah, Jesus, and that we are ambassadors unto you, God, hallelujah. Use us, Lord. Let revelation and enlightenment come down upon us, God, and we'll praise you and magnify you and give you glory and honor in the lovely name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Clap your hands unto the Lord and just bless him. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody asked tonight how many pages of notes you have. Well, that depends. At this point in time, I probably have 17. But that doesn't include all that's in my mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have been working diligently for the past several months trying to put some things together, and you are aware of many of these things as we have worked on them and had made small presentations of them, and then we have got stuff printed out and ready to roll and stuff, and so we're still working on a few little logistics about it, and before we're ready to roll with some different things and such, and just trying to get everything in proper place and such. And just praying. I was praying late last year and asking God maybe for a theme. I know that last year we used the theme of talking about the pattern and the purpose and the power. And so this year I didn't get a theme right away, and just praying about things. And Brother Bryant and I got to talking in December, and he told me a few different things, and I latched onto that and began to work with it, and some other things began to pop up, and I was working on those things, and I didn't really understand it as a theme, and as it began to progress into the new year and then down beyond into these last couple of months, I realized that honestly, I feel like this was the direction that God was placing upon me. And so we did. We had all of these cards printed, and we're going to be working diligently on those. But we do have these cards that are printed, and we have kind of taken a theme of the keys to your new life. And I've been studying, been praying about it, and I feel like here in the future, probably on Sunday mornings, I'm going to be talking about many different keys to life and to new life. It's not just to a life, but it is, it's not just a pacifier for people, but it is a key to a brand new life, even as Paul said in Romans, that we would be able to walk in the newness of life. Praise God. And so then Brother Newman and I were traveling down to Oklahoma a few Friday nights ago, and as we traveled down there, we were just talking about different things, and we went down there and we had there was a church service that we were going to, and on the process of coming back, we began to talk, and I told him, I said, you know what, I said, I am getting ready to preach a message, and I said, I'm going to preach about accepting the keys to a locked up world. And as we began to talk about that, we almost just had to pull over on the side of the road and shout for a little while because we begin to understand. This is not shouting because this is my idea. This is God's idea. This is God's idea. This is God's purpose. This is God's plan. And we as the church have got to realize this. And as I began to think about this, I thought about how that Brother Milby came a couple of years ago, or right at a couple of years ago, and he preached about revival has got to get beyond the four walls. Revival has got to get out into the streets. And when revival gets out into the streets, then that's when we are going to experience great revival. And there have been other things that have come. And I was praying and I was asking God, God, give me purpose, give me vision, give me staying power, give me something, Lord, that would solidify and cement me into the purpose of the church and such. And I had dreams many times in other places, and as I was praying about it, the Lord just impressed upon me, and even here of late again, the Lord impressed upon me that He gave me a dream many years ago, that as the church began to pray, and that we were in pre-service prayer, and as the church was praying, as the saints were praying, the church began to fill up. And I looked around and I was amazed at how quick the church was filling up. And I realized, I said, this is because that we're praying. And so we began to pray and seek the Lord during this pre-service prayer. And when we got ready to start, I turned around and looked and the church was completely full. And I mentioned that to the Lord. And I said, well, Lord, I said, that wasn't here. And, you know, that was at a different place. And the Lord just plainly and calmly dealt with me about it. And He said, that was for you. It wasn't necessarily for the city, it was for me. And I realized that it was revelation and feeling that even so much the more now that this church, and just as we begin to pray, revival is going to happen. And I believe in revival, and I am a revivalist, but I don't believe that God is so detailed in semantics and such like that. But at the same time, I want to be very careful and not limit things, and I am praying for a harvest. I want a harvest of souls. I want to glean the fields. Amen. When Jesus spoke and He said, look unto the fields, for they are white unto harvest. I want to harvest. I want to see, amen, these things come to pass. Praise God. And so I feel like that as a church body, that there are keys that God is going to give us to use in order to help us. Amen. There are keys that God is going to use to give us spiritual liberty. That there are things that are locked up. That there are things that are bound up. That there are doors that we have not walked through. There are places that we have not tread upon. That God is going to give us keys to go into new dimensions. And I personally believe that one of those keys is going to be continuous or steadfast and consistent prayer. And I am admonishing and encouraging us, amen, that first of all, that every time we come to the house of God, that we make this place a house of prayer. Praise God. Make it a house of prayer. Amen. During pre-service prayer, I want us praying. I want us seeking the face of God. Praise God. I don't think there's anything wrong with praying. Amen. Where you can be heard by others. Amen. As a matter of fact, I look back just a couple of months ago, and I look at what they called the Asbury Phenomena. And what happened was people came in and they heard people praying and heard people weeping and heard people worshiping, and they were astonished. Amen. Pentecostals, you've got more, amen, than this world, amen, will ever have. Hallelujah. I'm not denying that they did not feel God. I'm not denying that God did not move upon them and draw them unto repentance. But the people of truth ought to have a greater revelation. Amen. And an understanding that this can happen at any time. I'm amazed at how the world thought that what happened there was so great that they would stand in line for days on end in the cold weather. Amen. In the rain and all of these other things.
needs. Hallelujah. When things like that ought to be the norm, even in a Wednesday night apostolic church. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Amen. It ought to be just a known fact that we have what they are looking for, that we know who they are speaking to, that we understand, amen, what is going on, and that we have a relationship, a continual relationship, amen, with the one that they were praying unto. And so let it be said that when Butler County and the city of Augusta and Andover, Rose Hill, Tawanda, amen, El Dorado, any of these others, that when they walk into this church, let them hear the voices of saints as they are raised up in unison in a place of prayer and seeking the face of God. Hallelujah! Amen. And I'm just a firm believer that as long and as more than we pray, as we begin to pray, God is going to add unto the church daily such as should be saved. Praise God, praise God, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Paul told the Ephesians in chapter number 6, amen, he said that we're wrestling against rulers of this world, amen, spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness, hallelujah, amen, and we've got to be able to bind these things even as they are bound in the heavens, got to be able to loose some things, amen, that are locked up even as they are loosed in the heaven. And you may say, Pastor, what is loosed? Amen. We're going to get into that here in just a moment. But friend, we've got the keys. But the Bible says, amen, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And then he also stated in John chapter number 8, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen, church, you've got the truth. You've got the key to unlock a lot of things. And that key many, 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 many times is simply going to be Scripture. You know Scripture. And the Holy Ghost will bring all things back to your remembrance. You've got an answer that this world needs. Amen. I want you to know today that you know more than you are giving yourself credit for. You know more than you think that you know. You've got more answers than you think that you have. I've come here today to encourage you and to tell you, speak truth unto them. Speak Jesus unto them and let the keys begin to unlock their dark infested world. Praise God, praise God. You've heard me say it, and I'm going to say it many, many more times, just simply because this has been a way of thinking, even in my past. Amen, that we would pray. Oh, God, cause us to be sensitive to your moving, and cause us to be sensitive to your will. And God, we want to be sensitive to your voice. Amen, we want to be sensitive to know when you're moving, and when you need to do something. I believe that we need to be that. Oh, but I believe also that sometimes we make more of that than it really needs to be. I understand the will of God. For the Bible, the truth, the Word of God says that it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. God is not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want my neighbor to perish. God doesn't want your neighbor to perish. God doesn't want our co-workers to perish. God doesn't want our schoolmates to perish. God doesn't want our friends to perish. God doesn't want our families to perish. It's the will of God to save them. How are they going to be saved? Except that somebody tell them. You don't need to have God tell you that you need to witness unto them. Amen. The door of utterance will open up because God wants them to be saved. And you've got a key. You need to put that key into that lock and unlock their world. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I could preach for a long time, but let me just skip on down. I want to just skip all the way down to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And I want to begin working at verse number 1. And the Bible says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Everybody say, I do. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And here's where it starts getting really, really good. He said, but if our gospel be hid, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He said, if our gospel be hid, amen, it is hid unto them that are lost. And they don't understand why we act the way that we act. They don't understand why we go to church as frequently as we go to church. They don't even understand, amen, why an individual is and should and desires to be religious. They are locked up in a wild, wacky, and weird world. Amen. They live in a world, amen, that they are their own God. And they live in this understanding that if they work harder, that they're going to make more money and they're going to be more happy. But I have yet to see somebody that has worked really hard, amen, and making more money, and then all of a sudden they reach that certain plateau and they're happy. But they get to the plateau that they thought, if I can just make 6-digit figures in a year, I'm going to be happy. But when they get to that place, amen, they're not as happy as they thought, because their lifestyle has been bound, amen, by the assets of the world, by the love of the world, by the things of the world, and they've got to have more, and they work harder, to the place that many of their families are broken and busted up. Many of their families have been through divorces, amen. They live in homes that are ran by screaming, ran by arguments, ran by violence, ran by alcohol, ran by drugs, ran by, amen, you don't have to live in the ghetto. You don't have to live in utter poverty to be, amen, a dopehead. We have seen, all of us have seen, even the greatest politicians and those that were city managers and council members that have been bound by drugs. There is an allurement. There is an enticement. I've got to have something. The feeling of euphoria that is there. And they don't get what they really desired. Or when they do get it, they feel let down after a few days. And they are blinded by the gods of this world. And they have this concept that church cannot be the answer. I'm looking for something that'll bring me happiness. I'm looking for something that'll settle my family down. I'm looking for something that'll bring a cohesion into the family and cause all of this bickering and arguments and violence to go away. And church cannot be that answer. I'm looking for a doctor that is able to help me, that is able to talk to me and to explain to me everything that's going on in my life. I'm looking for a psychologist that can help my mental conditions. I'm looking for a prescription. I'm looking for a medicine that is going to be able to calm me down, that is going to be able to make these voices that are in my head be quiet for a period of time. I'm looking for some type of medicine that'll bring my world back out of chaos and put order and get me to calm down in these areas. And the church cannot be the answer. Amen. They are living in a world in whom the God of this world hath blinded their eyes, lest they should see the glorious gospel. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Anybody still there tonight? I'm preaching about our world. I'm preaching about our world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Amen. That it cannot be as easy as going to church. It cannot be as easy as just being baptized in Jesus' name. It cannot be just as easy as being filled with the Holy Ghost. There's got to be something more than that. And therefore, they're not lined up on the streets here on 12th. They're not lined up on the streets here on Henry and waiting until there is room enough to get in the door. But if they only knew Jesus like you and I knew him, if they only understood the gospel like you and I understand the gospel, friend, this building couldn't hold them all. Amen. This baptistry would have to stay full all the time. And how are they going to understand that? Amen. The answer is you. The answer is me. We've got the key. And what is one of those keys? That key is your testimony. You can tell God. You can tell these people of where God has brought you from. God has brought you from a really long ways.
Praise God. Amen. You used to not look so slick. Amen. You used to not have it all together. You used to live in a world that was full of misery. In a world where alcohol ruled your life. Amen. You lived in a world where your paycheck was already spent before it was ever deposited into your account. By the time it got to your account, you were paying off debts. Amen. That you already owed on money that you spent that you didn't even have. Amen. And somehow or another, the grace of God came down unto you. And somebody took a key called a testimony and inserted it into the lock that was upon your hands. Inserted into the shackles that was wrapped around your feet. And began to turn it. And all of a sudden when it clicked, hope began to fill your eyes. Hope began to fill your understanding. And you thought to yourself, could it be? And you came to an old-fashioned apostolic church where people were praying and people were worshiping and the preacher was screaming and spitting and some things you didn't understand. But you cannot deny what you felt. And the Holy Ghost began to run up and down your back, and before it was all said and done, you were weeping tears and you had no idea why. And then God filled you with the Holy Ghost and washed your sins away in a baptismal tank. You've got the key.
Oh, let's love him. Let's love him. Come on, I need a church. I'm not just begging for a response. Amen. But this church has got to get a revelation of this. Amen. I'm preaching to people here tonight that you've got doubts and you're thinking to yourself, oh no, pastor, it's not quite that easy. It's not quite that easy. It's not easy because you don't want it to be easy. It's not easy because hell is going to fight against you, because hell knows that if this world ever gets a revelation of the mighty God in Christ Jesus, there is nothing that can stop the church. He said, upon this rock, upon this rock, upon this revelation, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Praise God. Hallelujah. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Come on. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. Let's read it again. He said, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest they could understand the Pythagorean theorem and that what tangent and cosine and is, and they would have to be able to diagram complex sentences. That's not what he said.
That's not what he said. As a matter of fact, he said, I've chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And so he simply says here, blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, would shine unto them. Man, anybody remember where the Lord said, let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and magnify your Father which is in heaven. I'm just telling you this here. This isn't complex. I'm just simply telling it to you like this here tonight. That so many times, the only thing that you have to do, I'm not saying that this is the rule of thumb and that this is the only thing. I'm just simply saying that so many times, the only thing that you have to do is simply act like a Christian. You don't have to understand all of the complexities of the return, the second return of Christ. You don't have to understand all of that before you can have a witness. Many times all you have to do is simply let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. It did not say that they would see the great glorious works of God. It said that they may see your good works, and then they would begin to magnify your Father which is in heaven. People are going to begin to question. They're going to begin to ask. Amen. When they see your good works. Amen. It's hard to show your good works when you're driving in road rage. It's hard to show your good works when you're telling your boss off. It's hard to show your good works. Amen. When you want to get mad at your neighbor for every little thing and such. You know, you say, well, you just don't understand. You know, sometimes I don't understand because I'm out there mowing my yard and I'm out there minding my own business, just whistling my own little tune and mowing my own yard. And then all of a sudden something begins to stink. And I realize it's that neighbor's cat. And I stepped in something. And now I don't like that cat. And you know, I could shoot myself in the foot and I could shoot my testimony in the foot by walking over next door. Why don't you keep your cat in your yard? I promise you that's what I want to do. Yeah, I got stuff on the bottom of my shoe. And it stinks. But we got to remember, we got to let our light so shine before men, that they would see our good works and magnify our Father which is in heaven. Let me just preach. Let me just talk here tonight. I cannot put my finger on it and say, look, this is what I did. I cannot do anything like this. I cannot. I don't know what it was. But Sister Roxanna, I will tell you this. The other day, amen, my neighbor across the street called out to me and he said, hey Mark, can you come here for a second? I said, sure Tim, I can. I walked over there to Tim and we started talking, and he said, now look, he said, I know that this is going to sound real unusual. I said, all right, shock me. And he said, I got a request. I said, okay, what is it? He said, this Friday I'm going in for back surgery. And I'm wondering if, or Friday I'm going over for back surgery. And I'm wondering if on Thursday, if you can come over to my house and pray with me. Now some of you know who Tim is. And you know where Tim was. And you know who Tim used to be. And they say that Tim would fight at the drop of a hat and he'd be the one dropping the hat. And so Thursday I got over there and I sat down with Tim and we began to talk church. And he said, well, he said, you didn't have to get all dressed up to come over here. I said, Tim, I said, I didn't get dressed up to come over here and talk to you. I said, I got a Bible study tonight. I was teaching Michael a Bible study that Thursday night. I said, I got a Bible study tonight. I said, I'm going over to my store and teaching a Bible study. He said, you're doing what? I said, I'm going to my store. I'm teaching Bible study. I said, I got a young man over there that I'm teaching Bible study tonight. He said, tell me more about that. I said, well, you know, this is what it is. He said, so you do Bible studies outside of your church? I said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I said, we'll teach you Bible studies anywhere. I don't care. And I said, you know, we teach Bible studies at my store. I said, there's Bible studies being taught at Scooters. I said, you know, I said, sometimes on Tuesday nights, I said, the second and the fourth Tuesday night of every month, I said, we teach Bible study at 7:30 in the fellowship hall of our church. And I said, Wednesday nights, we have Bible study and such. I said, but yeah, he said, so you would teach Bible study to just individuals or just a small group of individuals? I said, oh yeah, I'd love to do that. He said, we may have to talk. He said, I'm going to have to come see this Bible study. I said, oh, Tim, I said, we'd love to have you in Bible study. I said, I'd love to teach you Bible study. He said, Mark, you got to understand where I came from. I said, I've heard a little bit about where you come from. He said, I know people in your church. I said, that's great. He said, I know Roxanna. I said, Sister Roxanna, you got a testimony in that man's life. You got a testimony in that man's life. He said, I know where she used to be. She ain't there anymore. I said, I'll tell you where she is. She's in the house of God. And so he opened up to me and he told me, he said, I'm going to tell you what problem I have with all the churches. I said, okay. He said, and by this time, Marcus is over there. And he said, the problem that I have with all churches, he said, every time I go to every one of them, he said, I can sit in the service. He said, and never, not one time do they ever mention AA. Not one time. I just didn't say anything. He said, but if you come to an AA meeting, he said, you will hear that we talk about God all the time. I said, stop. I don't have to go to AA to hear about God. I said, Tim, if you'll think about this, you have announced the common denominator. And the common denominator is not AA. The common denominator is God. I said, when you go to church, you hear about God. I said, and now while you're at AA, you hear about God. But what I really want to do is I want to teach him a Bible study. And I want to talk to him about the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And regeneration simply means not once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Regeneration means you used to be an alcoholic, but I've taken all of the genes out. And I'm regenerating you. I'm reprogramming you. I'm putting something in you that you didn't have. I'm putting some DNA in you that comes from heaven down in the form of the Holy Ghost living in your life. You don't have to be a regenerated sinner. You can be. You don't have to be a renewed alcohol. You can be regenerated by the power of the Holy Ghost. I am not out there every day walking with the sign from my porch to my car. I am a Christian. I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just simply saying that sometimes all we have to do is let our light so shine before men. that they may see our good works. Tim said, give me your phone number. So I gave him my phone number. He said, preacher, I can never repay you for what you have done. We got there and we prayed. He didn't know a thing about what he was doing. He said, I want you to pray for me. I said, okay. He said, and can we pray for the doctor too? I said, oh, Tim, we're going to pray for the doctor too. He started asking me all kinds of questions. Can we pray for that? I said, yeah, we'll pray for this. I said, we're going to pray that God would give you peace. We're going to pray that God would give you good sleep tonight. We're going to pray that God would give the doctor good sleep tonight. We're going to pray that God would direct his hands and that God would help him. We're going to pray over this situation. I said, we're going to pray that it's not going to be as bad as they thought. Or we're going to pray completely that God just touch and heal. He said, pastor, I'm already praying that. I said, good, good, good. So we're on the right track. And so I said, all right, I said, well, let's pray. He said, okay, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? And I said, all right. I said, well, I'm going to pray. I said, I'm just going to lay my hand on you. I said, okay. He said, what do I need to say? I said, it doesn't matter. I said, you just pray. I said, you're going to hear me praying. You just pray. I said, whatever comes to your mind, I said, you just pray. And I said, let's pray together about this. He said, okay, and that's all I have to do? I said, that's all you got to do, Tim. Come on, let's pray. And so we sat there in his living room, or we stood there in his living room, and we began to pray for him. Amen. And we felt the sweet presence and the power of God that come into that place. And when we was all said and done, he said, preacher, I can never repay you for all of this. I said, oh, you don't have to do that. And we just left it alone. Friday, I contacted him. I texted him. And I said, hey, Tim, how are you feeling? He said, I'm doing good, preacher. Keep praying for me. And so we've been in contact. And I'm expecting one of these days. I texted him yesterday or the day before. I said, how are you doing? He said, I'm getting up and getting about right now. He said, a little bit sore, but I'm starting to walk with the walker. I said, all right. So I'm still praying for you. And he said, good. Well, you know what I'm expecting? I'm expecting one of these days he's going to walk out of that house. He's going to be mowing his yard. I'm going to be mowing my yard. He's going to say, hey, preacher, come here. We need to talk about those Bible studies. Hey, this isn't just me. This isn't just me. You've got keys just like I've got keys. And I'm not talking about keys to your house and keys to your cars. I'm talking about keys to the kingdom and keys to the things that they are locked up in. Amen. There are people that are messed up in this world. There are people that are borderline suicide. Amen. There are people that are just completely, amen, messed up. Amen. They're stressed out. They're anxious. Amen. There are people that are sick in body. There are people, amen, that just feel so alone. There are people, amen, that have no hope. And so you know what we're going to do to them? We're going to give them keys. Amen. And to that one that feels so alone and they just feel like, you know what, I just don't feel like anybody cares, and I just don't feel like anybody knows where I'm at, and I just feel all alone, we're going to go back to our house and we're going to pull out of our Bible and we're going to find the key for being alone. Amen. And it says in Isaiah chapter number 41 and 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee, and be not dismayed, for I am the Lord thy God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And we're going to go back to them and we're going to say, hey, you know what? Amen. We were talking about being alone the other day, and I was just thinking about you, and I want you to have this, and I want you to take this, and I want you to put it on your refrigerator. And every time you open that refrigerator, I want you to see that you're not alone, that God is with you, and that God is there for you. And when you think about that, I want you to think about me, and I want you to think that the person that gave me this is praying for me, that God would help them, and that God would be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. And when it's all said and done, you think of these, I want you to come visit us this Sunday and let God begin the healing process in your life and unlock some doors that are bound up in your life. Let's stand tonight. Never before have you heard somebody preach 17 pages of notes so quick. You're going to be hoping that I have 17 pages all the time. But I throw it all away If I could get you as saints of God to understand and get a revelation that you have a key to their locked up world. I would throw it all away if I could get you to completely understand that we as the church have a responsibility to this locked up world. This locked up world that's searching through channels on their televisions, trying to find entertainment. Some of them look in the sports venue, but then all of a sudden their team starts losing and they hate the coach. And they hate this one and they hate that one. And before long, that entertainment that they sat down to relax in, they're all worked up and they're angry and they're mad and they're screaming and they're hollering and they're cussing. What are they thinking? For other people, that doesn't matter a hill of beans. They're over in the soap operas and they're watching. Living in a fairy tale world. In love with individuals that would never be in love with them. Living in a world of make-believe. They look in the mirror and they look in their life and they don't see the same things. Depressed. Messed up. Living in a world who this Friday is going to quickly open that envelope that contains their check. They looked with anticipation for that check. They open it up hoping that some miraculous miracle has transpired, only to see that reality is that the money is already gone. Bill collectors are calling and they have no idea what to do. Living in a world who this Friday night, while the church is here praying, they'll be in the streets and in the neighborhoods and at friends' house drinking, waking up on Saturday with hangovers, vomiting, eyes bloodshot. Some will wake up in jail. Someone may even drive a car and crash. Living in a world where people will take food off of their table and take it away from crying babies so that they can put some foreign substance into their bodies. Living in a world that is absolutely hopeless, no purpose. Living in a world where hurt seems to be so prominent. Molestation, sexual abuse, memories. These things come flooding over them, arousing bitterness and anger and such. Living in a world that doesn't seem fair. Sickness, disease, cancers. Living in a world that's afraid. Living in total fear, frustration, confused. Addicted, depressed, forsaken, brokenhearted, defeated. And Jesus said, I'm going to build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm going to give the church some keys. I know he said I'm going to give them to Peter. But I think that we can take this a little bit further. Because there are so many people that are locked up in this kind of world. They're locked up and bound by false religion. All of these other things. They're searching. They're like a blind man in a dark room trying to find the chain where the light is. They don't know where it is. Just feeling, where is it at? Where is it at? There's no light in their world. And that's where you and I come in. And we can take the light of this glorious gospel. And we can insert it into the chains that's got them bound up and unlock it and give them hope. Look, sir, look, ma'am, you're not going to understand this. But I want you to come to church with me this Sunday. I want you to let God begin the healing process in your life. Do I have anybody here that's ready to accept the responsibility of unlocking a locked up world? Jesus said, I've got keys right here. I've got keys. You know, the greatest thing that you can do is reach your hands up to heaven and accept the keys that God has given you. Because somebody at some point in time accepted some keys and help unlock your chains. Helped unlock your addictions. Help unlock your purpose. Help unlock that fear that you had. Helped unlock that stressful life that you was bound by. The best thing that you could do is reach up into heaven and say, God, give me some keys. Come on, I'm talking about accepting the keys to a locked up world.